This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country, located just outside Washington. We want to get her thoughts today as the Senate Finance Committee, in a closely watched vote, by a vote of 14-9, approved the Max Baucus version of healthcare reform, nearly on a party line vote, although Republican Olympia Snow crossed over and supported the plan, at least in terms of getting it out of committee. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
It's always a pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Well, Senator Snow played her cards very close to her vest. She didn't announce her decision until it was time for the committee to publicly deliberate the bill. She says she's still concerned that the bill might not actually fall within the cost containment parameters as scored by the CBO. But she's confident that at least the process is moving in the right direction. Now, what's your sense of what the committee did today and her reasons for voting the way she did?
Well, I think the committee basically voted today to keep the conversation going. Almost all of the members during, 4 or 5 hours worth of statements said, you know, I've got a lot of things I want to fix with this bill, but the American people want and need to have health reform, and so I'm going to vote for the bill so that we can send it to the floor and amend it. That, in addition to the fact that the Congressional Budget Office still needs to give a score of the actual legislation, which does not exist yet. And so once you start to get into the fine details of how legislation is actually structured and what the cost of that is going to be, I think they're going to have many, many more hurdles to cross. And you've got people on opposite sides of the aisle and opposite sides of issues that are basically saying, there's no way I will vote for a bill if it contains a public plan, and others saying there will be no way I can vote for this bill if it doesn't contain a public plan. So, and others saying that it has to stay under $900 billion, and others saying that there's no way it can stay under $900 billion. First of all, they're not counting all of the real cost of spending, and I think the American people are on to that game. And they're just not going to put up with the taxes that have to be raised, $500 billion in taxes, in order to allegedly make this budget neutral to the federal government. Well, it's not budget neutral to the American people who are going to be taxed more to pay for this. So there's still a lot of hurdles before this actually is a done deal.
Grace Marie, you were an excellent prognosticator on this, because when we talked shortly after Max Baucus introduced this bill, and everyone on both sides of the aisle was saying it's dead on arrival and so forth, you were saying, look out, this will likely be what the final version probably looks like, because it's the one that can probably get the most people to agree to some sort of compromise. Now, of course, we have 5 bills that have passed out of committee in the House and Senate. This is the only one that does not have a public option attached to it. But you just explained very well that there are many people on both sides, and whether or not there's a public option determines how they're likely to vote. So in the end, is the Baucus approach still very much alive, or is the public option more likely at this point?
Well, I think that they're very likely to have something that they call something else, but it really will morph into a government-run health plan, which is what so many of them really want. In fact, that's their only reason for wanting to do health reform, because they really believe that that will move toward a system in which the government, as what they believe is a neutral, fair player, is in control of our health care system, rather than, heaven forbid, individuals, doctors, patients, and private health insurance companies. So it's a totally different vision of the world, and they've got to plant the seed for something that looks like a public plan that will then begin to basically kill off private health insurance and move toward a government-run system. So I think there's some people who feel, whatever you call it, we've got to get started down that path, and I think they're going to fight very, very hard for it. But there are a lot of other people who are, A, onto that game, and B, you see so many other pieces of this legislation that just, I don't know how they fit it together. Olympia Snow is saying that the penalties for people not buying health insurance are too onerous, and yet the insurance industry is saying, well, if you don't have penalties for people to not buy health insurance and you allow people to just buy it when they get sick, then premiums are going to shoot through the roof. Well, costs are a big issue. So you start to see that you try to fix one thing and two or three other bad things happen. And when they get into the amendment process, Lord forbid what it's going to look like when you start to combine. It's like combining an elephant and a donkey and a horse and a mule. You know, what on earth are you going to get when all of this comes together? And is it even going to be a functional bill? I worry that it won't.
Grace Marie, you talked about the big game of whack-a-mole, basically, that's going on here. And at the same time, you mentioned the insurance industry looking for even higher penalties, which originally were higher in the Baucus bill.
Right.
They got trimmed down.
$3,800.
Exactly. Got cut in half thanks to Kent Conrad, I believe it was his amendment. But the health insurance industry also coming out with a new report conducted by Price Waterhouse suggesting that the argument from the Democratic side that these reforms will actually reduce premiums for those who are covered now isn't true. In fact, they'll be going up faster and higher than if the system were left alone. How accurate is that, as far as you can tell?
You know, the first promise, one of the promises that President Obama made during the campaign was that every American family will see their health care costs go down by $2,500 a year. Okay, so that's sort of ground zero. People's costs are going to go down. And the PricewaterhouseCoopers study that came out on Sunday night, yes, paid for by America's health insurance plans, but PricewaterhouseCoopers is a very serious independent analytic firm, and it looked at the new taxes that are going to be imposed on health insurance, the fact that the mandates are really not going to work, so you're going to wind up with spiraling health care costs, and several other provisions that are actually in the bill, and said this is going to, by 2016, the average American family is going to be paying $4,000 more for health insurance than they would have otherwise. So they're looking for a cut in their health insurance costs, and this is basically saying that your health insurance costs are guaranteed to increase if this bill passes. And it only makes sense. If you've got to come up with $500 billion of new money in new taxes, and you're taxing health insurance companies, where are they going to get the money to pay those taxes? They're going to increase premiums. So you start to see the whole cascade of taxes to pay for this, increasing health insurance costs. I don't see how you can escape that reality, and yet it breaks a fundamental promise that the president made to the American people.
Grace Marie, we'll keep watching as all of these House and Senate bills get hammered into one bill that finally makes it to each of the floors, and I'm sure we'll be talking along the way. Thanks so much for helping us understand what's going on here. Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.